Well, 2 weeks ago, we had quite a bit of rain. So much so that we had various leaks, both in our home and here at the building. There was so much rain that a lake formed over here that you needed either canoe or to walk. You know, it was pretty deep, okay, up to the bottom of my knee pretty much. And anyway, well, once people found out about that happened on a Wednesday, and that another storm was coming that was supposed to be worse, you know, the one that happened Thursday. Well, Dave and Richard Avery and George Hernandez and Bob Buda cleaned up the leaves out front and around the drains so they wouldn't block the drains. Then Ed Kalis, I've never seen anyone do this, but he's the man. He got down on his hands and knees with a trowel and he dug out years of sludge from the drains. All right. He washed his hands since then, so you can shake your hands. George Hayes. All right. This man here went and patched the roof and fixed my skylight, rebuilt the whole thing. And Dave Grohl put an extension on a hose out in the back so that the drains go away from the building. And Dave Avery put sandbags by some doors in the back so that the water wouldn't come in. And you know what? All that preparation actually paid off. The building had fewer leaks, and what water did come in was minimal. It was actually like only that much water back in Gretchen's room, and there's usually that much water. So it was good, actually. It was very good. All right, so the drains worked. You know, there wasn't a lake. There wasn't even a pond. It was actually very, very well. And my skylight only let light in. So George did a great job. I highly recommend him for any sort of, anyway. God is good, okay? God is good. You see, when we know that something is about to happen or an event is about to happen, it really pays to prepare for it. And the same is true when it comes to the holiday season. And as of today, there are 11 days left until Christmas Day. So if you haven't prepared for the season yet, it's time to get started. You know, it's time to trim the tree, check your lights, hang the wreath, whatever you do. You know, bake cookies, send cards, whatever. Get ready to see people you haven't seen in probably a year, you know. And make plans for whatever trip you're going to take. It's time to prepare for the season. Now, preparing for the Christmas holidays, all that trimming and trappings, is one thing. But what about preparing our hearts for the season? You know, because for a lot of people, this time of the year is more of a bother than a blessing. And it becomes full of all kinds of headaches instead of hallelujahs. And it seems to me it's all because we fail to heed the words spoken really to the prophet Isaiah back in chapter 40, verse 3, that John read for us this morning, to prepare the way for the Lord, to make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Now, we know that those words were fulfilled in the ministry of John the Baptist, and they're not talking, of course, about some highway construction project, right? But it was through John's message of reform and repentance that the people were prepared for the arrival of the Lord. You see, John helped to prepare the hearts of the people to welcome Jesus as the Christ. And what I would like to try to convey to you this morning is that we can do the same thing for others. So today, what I'd like for us to do is to spend just a few minutes talking about three things that we can do to prepare for the season. About three things that we can do to prepare our hearts for Jesus and to help others to welcome him. And the first thing that we can do to prepare for the season is to become like a child again. To become like a child again. Go ahead and turn over to the Gospel of Luke. And I'm going to read from chapter 18. And verses 15 through 17. In Luke 18, 15 through 17, we read that people were bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." You know, Christmas is for kids. But, you know, when people say that, you know, you often hear people say that, don't they? Christmas is for kids. But you kind of wonder what they mean. You know, do they mean that they've gotten a little too old to enjoy the holiday season? Sometimes there's a little sadness when that's said. You know, Christmas is for kids. Maybe a little disappointment, you know. Maybe a little longing for the days when they enjoyed Christmas as a child. But in looking at Luke 18, Jesus tells us that as grown-ups, we need to become like little children. As a matter of fact, he once told a man named Nicodemus that the only way to see the kingdom of God was to be born again, to become like a babe, you see. And of course, Nicodemus didn't quite understand about being born of the water and the Spirit and how he needed to be baptized and start his life all over again. And Jesus says something similar here in Luke 18 when his disciples think that Jesus is too busy and important to take time for children who were really the lowest considered folk in society. And Jesus tells them, hey guys, don't you realize how important these kids are? Children are your model for how you are to enter and live in God's kingdom. And so Jesus says, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So what did Jesus mean? That we're all to sit around and suck our thumbs and whine and cry? I know some people that do that, but that's not what he's talking about. First of all, let me tell you what he does not mean, okay? He does not mean that there's anything wrong with growing up. He doesn't want us all to be like Peter Pan. There's a big difference between being childlike and being childish. Believe it or not, children aren't always little angels, and Jesus is not discouraging us from maturing with age. In fact, we seem to see that's a problem in society nowadays. There are a lot of people that just haven't grown up. They haven't outgrown their temper tantrums or their selfishness or their ability to, just unforgive, you know. But despite all the negative things that we lay aside as we grow up, there are some things that we need to really hold on to no matter how old we get. So what are some of those things? Well, let me suggest just two of those things to help us prepare our hearts for the season and to help others welcome him. And the first is dependence. Just think about children. Children need somebody to take care of them. Sure, you know, they do some stuff for themselves, but they depend upon adults to do many of the things that they can't do. And you know, most kids don't mind that kind of arrangement. Think about it, if you've got good parents, you know, kids don't worry about things like food or clothes or how they're gonna get to school or anything like that. You know, they trust their parents to take care of them. You see, children are a model of the kind of trust and dependence they were to have with God. Back in John 14, after Jesus had told the disciples that one of them was going to betray him and that Peter would deny him. And they're like, oh, what are we going to do? Jesus encourages them, starting in verse 1, by saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. He says, believe in God. Have faith in God. And trust and believe or have faith in me too. You see, we need to have a certain level of trust, even when things look like they're falling apart. We have to have a certain level of belief, a certain level of faith in God, like the way a child does with their parents. Not, you know, and not to depend upon God to do what, you know, they can do. We don't want to depend upon our parents to do what we can do. That's not good parenting. You don't want to do for your kids what they can do, okay? All right, we need to train them to do what they can do and let them do it. All right, so we're not to depend upon God for what, you know, we can do, but to depend upon him to do what we cannot do. You know, so we are to depend upon God like a child depends upon their parents. All right, the second thing that we see here to help us prepare our hearts for the season is just wonder. It's just wonder. That's some of what Steve talked about a little bit last week. You know, children see the world differently, don't they? There's a wonder about things. I mean, they're amazed at simple things like a caterpillar spinning a cocoon, turning into a butterfly, or a shooting star, or waterfalls cascading off the side of a mountain. To see beauty in things that grown-ups tend to take for granted. And it's not just in nature, but in the Bible. in the Bible. You know, for example, when a child hears the story of David and Goliath or Daniel in the lion's den or Jesus walking on water, they're like, really? There's an amazement that happens. When you hear about the creation and the awesomeness of God, they're like, really? And there's this awe that begs for us to worship God. So why is it that we don't want to take time to see that as we get older? Why is it that we don't want to take time to wonder or to marvel at God? Just imagine if Moses was going along out there after he, you know, went out and started tending sheep with his wife and his father-in-law and walked by, saw the burning bush and said, just kept on walking. you know, that's just a bush that burns. We've seen that before. You know, when it comes to this time of the year, you know, I'll tell you straight off, I do not celebrate Christmas as a Christian holiday because it's no more Christian than George Washington's birthday. But I do recognize it as a secular holiday, just like the 4th of July or Labor Day, okay? But all of the holidays that we recognize in some way have their purpose. And so Christmas is very much about life. It's about hope. It's about promise. It's about family. You know, we could just let this season pass on by without slowing down at the wonder of it all and not marvel at anything going on, or we could stop. And we can be amazed at the joy this time of year brings for so many. You see, it's about looking at things like a child again. It's about appreciating all that the season can mean, the love and family and the friends, and remembering that God is the one that makes it all possible. It's about depending upon God and having a sense of wonder in all that God makes possible for us. First four verses of Psalm 19 come to mind where David writes, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." There's this wonder that we can see all around us. God's handiwork in everything that should cause us to just praise God, to worship him. You see, when Jesus tells us that we need to be like a little child, he's not talking about regressing to childish ways, you know, but instead he wants us to depend upon and to trust in him instead of worrying about and fretting about everything. And he wants us to stop and take the time and look around at the wonder of God's world, at the wonder of God's word, at the wonders of not just what God did back then, you know, in the scriptures, but what God is doing right now and what God will do in the future. You see, becoming a child again is a great way to prepare our hearts for the season and to help others welcome him. The second thing that we can do to prepare for the season is to rediscover the blessing of giving. Rediscover the blessing of giving. In the book of Acts, when Paul is saying his goodbyes to the elders that shepherd the church in Ephesus and explaining about the work that he did with them, he says this in Acts 20:35. He says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" It's more blessed to give than to receive. But that's not the way people think. You know? Almost 150 years ago, the character Joe in Louisa May Alcott's story, Little Women, said, "Christmas won't be Christmas without any presents." I guess, you know. But the trouble is that most of the time we want to be on the receiving end of those presents. So as Paul encourages the leaders in the church at Ephesus to follow in his footsteps in matters of compassion and in matters of doctrine, he tells them that they also are supposed to copy his sacrificial style of ministry. And so he quotes from Jesus himself. He says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And those words aren't found anywhere else in the Gospels, nowhere else in the Bible, but right here. And, you know, we don't know if Jesus spoke those words directly to Paul himself, or if he heard it from another disciple, or if he actually was somehow able to hear Jesus say these things while Jesus was ministering. But the fact is, Jesus said it. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And that sounds, you know, that sounds just like something the greatest giver would say. As a matter of fact, Jesus said something somewhat similar back in Luke 6, verse 38, when he said, "To give, it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you." Of course, we don't want to take this passage the wrong way in Luke 6, because what Jesus says in Luke 6 is not about material giving, but about forgiving. You see, his point is that those who are merciful will receive even greater mercy. And those who give no mercy, well, they'll receive what they get, or give, as it may be. All right. So the idea is the same, the idea that giving brings more blessing to the giver than the receiver. The trouble is that, again, a lot of people don't see it that way. Our culture is a lot more about getting than giving. And you know, if you think about kids, they make a little list of things that they want to get for Christmas rather than what they want to give. And, you know, of course, you know, we don't mind buying presents for people. Most people don't. But, you know, when we think about that, we think, you know, if I give them that, they, you know, they better give me a gift too, you know. You think about it, people don't give gifts, really. They exchange gifts, right? You ever go to a place, they have like a gift exchange? Well, they don't have like a, you know, giving gift thing, right? That's just the way people think. But that's the opposite, again, of what Jesus said here in Luke, in Acts 20, in verse 35. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting presents or exchanging gifts. You know, I like getting presents as much as the next guy. You know, all we want to see, though, is that Jesus and Paul tell us that there is a pleasure in receiving a gift that cannot compare to the pleasure of actually giving the gift. In other words, it's more blessed to give that gift than to receive it. The giver is blessed incredibly. Think about the joy and blessings it brings us when we collect things for the Magi Project, for the House of Hope. I would say it in Spanish, but I found out the translation. Since I can't speak Spanish, it's the House of Hope. The Casa de la Esperanza. I guess that's close. And the love we experience when we collect and we deliver the food baskets at Thanksgiving time to people is like, "That's for me? Really?" And some of them will just cry because they feel so blessed. And the rejoicing that happens when we donate money for Mission Sunday and the spread of the gospel around the world, you know, it is more blessed to give than receive. You know? But you know, it doesn't have to be grand or organized so much like that. You know? It could be simply sharing what you have with a person that everybody else tends to forget, you know? Or when you give your time to visit a shut-in who's just terribly lonely, you know? Or when you send a card to someone, or maybe you know some folks overseas, and maybe they're spending another night in danger to keep us safe here at home, if you have family or friends in the military. Or when you do something without wanting anything else in return, you know. When you do without something yourself that you could have, but instead you give it to someone else because they really need it. And that's just something that you could do without, you know. You know, that's a blessing. That's a blessing beyond any gift you could ever receive for yourself. It's such a blessing to give. And God knows this. Now, he's given us everything, life, all that we need, and most importantly, God has given us Jesus so we could have fellowship with him, so we could have our sins forgiven, so that we could spend eternity with him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And so when we give, you know, we're doing what God does, and we can prepare both our hearts and the hearts of others for the season by rediscovering the blessing of giving. All right. The third thing that we can do to prepare for the season is to turn on the lights. Turn on the lights. I like lights, you know. I like to walk around Dovewood Court. I like to watch the simple rhythm of the lights on our tree at home. I've got different settings, actually. They can do all kinds of things, but I just like the kind of like flowing thing like that, you know. And I like to sit there and just kind of watch it at night when everyone else is asleep. It's peaceful, you know. I like to drive around and look at lights, you know, when the opportunity presents itself. The Lord Jesus calls himself the light of the world in John 9:5, but he also calls his people, he calls you and me, to be the light of the world too in Matthew 5:14. And Paul echoes that same idea in Philippians 2:14-15 when he tells us to do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault. There's that children again. Without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Bright lights, you know. Here we have a picture of the world without Christ in deep darkness, you know. And the children of God are lights in that darkness. See, God wants us to live differently. When everybody else is griping and fussing and, you know, we're practicing being content and thankful and loving. So if the people we work with or interact with, you know, are being selfish or careless and, you know, they don't think about the Lord, then we ought to do our best to live right, you know, to be blameless and pure without fault, like the text says. We are to be shining examples of Christ to those around us. And so let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16. And while we are to shine our lights all the time, all around the neighborhood, you know, this season is an especially good time to shine. And I don't mean that, you know, it's our time to show off how good we think we are or anything, or how bad we think that someone else is in comparison. It's not a time to get self-righteous, but on the other hand, it is a time to show people how Jesus changes our lives, how Jesus came to give us peace with God and peace with one another, how Jesus came to give us purpose in life and hope after death. Think about it. Our job as a light for the world is to show those in darkness why Jesus came and to lead them to the light of the world, the true light of the world, that can light up their darkness. And that won't happen by accident. Now, you've got to prepare yourself to shine for Jesus. You've got to pray. You've got to ask him for opportunities to share his love with others. You've got to take the time to think about how you will tell them when they ask you what makes your life so different. Again, 1 Peter 3:15 comes to mind, where we're encouraged to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. It's a season of hope. People will ask you, why do you have that hope amidst all this insanity, amidst all the depravity in the world? You give them that answer, but do it with gentleness and respect. You know? Let me challenge everyone this season to shine bright and beautiful as a light for the Lord. There are folks living in darkness who need somebody to shine that light, the light of the gospel of God's love into their lives. And we could be that light. You could be that light if you'll prepare your heart this season. So, have you been preparing for the season? We know what's upon us. We know what people are doing. It's good to be ready, right? You know, we can merely survive the Christmas season and gripe and complain about all the bother and you know, people can yawn about all the inaccuracies and balk about the Christmas story and say, well, that's not in the Bible. That's, you know, okay, all right. And you can be glad when the whole thing is over. Pshaw, you know. Or you can prepare for the season and help others prepare for Christ by becoming like a child again, by rediscovering the blessing of giving, and by being shining lights in a dark world, and with gentleness and respect, show them the true light. You know, this holiday season is not the only season to prepare for, right? I mean, there's stormy seasons. We know the forecast, so we get things ready like we did here at the building. there are seasons in life. You start thinking about the future, what's going to happen. You know, you prepare for retirement, for illness. And ultimately, there's the preparation for when Christ returns. So we have to ask ourselves, are we prepared to meet God? And if you are, then that's great, you know. If not, then God's word tells us that you need to confess Jesus as Lord, and you believe in him, and you need to repent of your sins, and then be baptized in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins, just like the Bible says in Romans 6 and in Acts 2:38. And when you do that, you come up out of the water born again, just like Jesus was trying to teach Nicodemus. And then you walk in newness in life, and you rejoice in your salvation, and you're prepared to meet God, and you're ready to help prepare others to do the same. Well, maybe there's some other need that we can help out with that wasn't mentioned earlier. In any case, I'd always like to encourage you to come forward and share what might be on your mind as together we stand and sing.